again.
All right.
It's 30 minutes past the hour. We like to call feeling great at ease. Yes, he can be taught.
Yes, indeed he can.
As promised, we are joined by Rushongoza Begumia.
Yes.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. Bit of a mouthful, but...
It is a bit of a mouthful, but
he gets the job done.
Uh-huh. Man, I've worked with him for ages. Tima's full name. It's the whole citation.
What's her full name?
Wow.
It's a proverb.
Because I want to know if it goes on mine. Yeah, I have a full name, but I want to hear what's in
it. Really? Let's see. Let's test it if you don't correctly in order.
Sima Chakuhere Chomuhendo Sabiti.
Very good.
Okay, so my full name is Rushongoza.
Mm-hmm.
Nkaba from Wachi. I want Kuba Shasha, but can't feel you can cover your gummy.
Okay, you win. You win.
That's a proverb.
That's an essay.
Yeah. And then there's a Lorica bit.
Yeah, there's Lorica, which I got from doing a transaction in Kamoja.
Okay.
So
okay. What do people call you for short?
Rusho.
Okay, Rusho.
Make it easy.
I think. Rusho, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It even rhymes.
Yes.
Pleasure to be here. First time I've been back in a radio studio in like, what, five, 6 years? I used to work on radio a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't still, you know...
Man wears many hats.
You don't still get the itch? You don't think you'll ever get back to the mic?
Well, I think in the business I do, it's difficult to do radio.
Hey.
But I loved it. I almost became a journalist twice in my life.
Okay.
Really. Yeah, so law took me really close.
Ah.
But before we get into it, it was Rudenda's birthday.
Uh-huh.
So I bought him a little gift.
Oh, wow.
Oh, to say thank you.
Oh, oh.
Sweet.
Yeah, but you have enough of those, Rudenda. Maybe you just give it to me for safekeeping.
No. This is the Kitara Nation Poetry Series.
Oh, wow.
So, this is a keepsake. And
so now...
It has to be autographed.
I'm going to sign it for you.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Right? Yeah.
Nice.
So that's a little bit I did a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Right, so you're here to talk about the National Content Symposium.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, for starters, first tell us, what is the National Content Symposium about?
Okay, so we must also notice that there's been an upsurge of use of digital media to make content,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've seen a lot of content creators, influencers. You've seen a lot of what UCC calls data communication service providers, who are like online channels, online radios, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. The quote-unquote bloggers.
Yeah, bloggers, yes.
Okay.
And we noticed that there's an upsurge of using that technology. People are not as aware of their rights and responsibilities when they use the internet. They seem to think that, you know, my freedom of speech, I can do anything I want, and that's not really the case. So the symposium is aimed at bringing content creators, regulators, as well as non-profits and ecosystem players in one room to say what are our responsibilities, what are our duties, and how do we find a way to ensure that content creators make the most out of their profession in the least restrictive and most enabling environment.
Okay. Yeah.
You've rightly said that there's been an upsurge of content creation, but that growth is continuing even without guidance on clear ethics, clear morals and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Are we already seeing the consequences?
Yeah, we are. I mean, I think that we've seen so many creators run afoul of the standard and have to deal with offenses. There's first of all, a lot of criminal offenses around content, whether it is cyber harassment, cyber stalking. But there's also offenses created under the Uganda Communications Act, which a lot of content creators don't seem to be aware about, which is a little bit different in a place like this because you have a team, a regulatory team that makes sure that you're compliant.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of the consequences, and yet we would all be helped by ensuring that this ecosystem is as assisted to leverage the technology and contribute to this economy as best it can.
How best can you strike a balance? Because you mentioned that maybe some of these content creators don't actually know what some of their own responsibilities are. How does the symposium help them understand the real legal and reputational weight of what they post without it being that their creative expression is being restricted?
So I think that so two things. One, I think that our role as legal practitioners, and not just legal practitioners but legal practitioners who are responsive to the needs of our community, is to support innovators like that, because really that's what they are. They are innovators.
Yeah.
So in a long journey to say, let's have these content creators organize and also contribute to the laws that affect them. Because the challenge is, as lawyers, once a law is enacted, there's very little we can do about it.
Yeah.
Right?
It becomes about enforcement.
Yeah. So the best we can tell you, even when I don't like the law, the position is that we have to comply.
Yeah.
So there's been, we've had some unfair laws in the past around, you know, free speech, and thankfully many of them have been taken off our books. So it is, so this simple, it's really creating an ecosystem that's united, that's cohesive, that can advance its interests and advance for permissive legislation, and this is just one part of the journey.
Yeah.
Would you say that there are instances where people have crossed the line without knowing it?
I think so, yeah. So I'll give you, for example, a very simple one. Like, have you guys noticed when you go to these online blogger channels, the adverts?
Yeah.
So
like the squeeze box.
Yeah. There's so many adverts. So there's, for example, adverts on political content.
Yeah.
Right, which have a whole law around how you advertise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That, for example, require you to accommodate other political actors.
Yeah.
So, right? Or I've seen people advertise cigarettes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very, there's
very clear
there. What you can advertise, how you have to advertise it. Alcohol. Yeah. I've seen alcohol being advertised.
Yeah.
There's no guards on responsive, you know, responsive drinking and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like a number of other things. Like in a radio station like this, there's something I think you guys call, what is it called? You call it daylight time or something?
The watershed moment.
The watershed time, yeah.
Yes, yes.
The watershed time. So there's content which you will not air at 9 a.m.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't see is always the case with a lot of these places. Because I, for example, tune in on a Saturday morning and the things that are being said on there cannot fit, you know, watershed regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of those rules that keep being not complied with, and it's the easiest way anyone can take down your channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that an issue of it being digital as opposed to analog? Because a lot of these laws were made with linear programming in mind.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't envision that there would be, you know, digital content creation and stuff.
Yeah.
So now you have to change the laws
to accommodate that.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, when you look at the law now, it accommodates for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
The whole shebang, so to speak. Albeit that for example, the rules on like watershed are more tuned to like this type of setting, radio, TV, not exactly for a content creator, because it doesn't have
a broadcast.
Usually, but although of course they have to comply with rules on programming, you know, interestingly enough. So I think that from the perspective of the regulator, the assistance they would be given is to put them in the same room with the content creator. So and we've been a little bit urging for it to say, let's create a separate legal framework for them so that it's not convoluted in all of this. But I think that a lot of that also comes from the regulator not knowing as much as many of the practitioners are, and I think the symposium would be a great way for us to exchange some ideas.
I think it's great that you're going to have the content creators with the regulators in the room, because it goes without saying that, you know, young people tend to fear regulators, law enforcement. They see it more as punishment. How does this symposium, how is it going to help change their perception of regulation as protection and not just as punishment?
I think you could start from, why does this fear even exist in the first place?
So I think that, interesting enough, when I speak to some of the regulators, I see a reverse fear, right? Yeah, a reverse fear. So so let me give you an example. It's election season, right?
Yes.
And you've already been seeing AI-generated videos.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've been seeing deepfakes. You've been seeing misattributions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens in Benin and someone says, oh, look what just happened in Kamocha.
Yeah.
You know? So I see that fear, and especially when you look at it from a both an ethical perspective, from, you know, what are our kids watching and stuff like that, but also from a security perspective, because the internet is a very powerful social political force.
Yeah.
It can cause a number of complications, as we've seen in a couple of countries. So the perception, I think, comes from the fact that most of the time that regulators engage with regulated persons, they engage with them from a sort of sanction point of view, because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, by the way, this is a non-compliant thing, so take it down or whatever, we're going to begin prosecution.
Yeah.
And we've been speaking to the regulator and saying, look, you have to create a space where you have these conversations before you take action.
Mm.
But equally so, from the perspective of the content creator, you don't have to wait from when the regulator steps in, because when the regulator steps in and you have to get legal practitioners and all those types of people, it costs you a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm. So I understand the fears on both sides, and I think that the room is a great, the symposium is a great halfway house to have all of us come with our fears and go to the bottom of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, we've got Rushna in the house talking about the National Content Symposium. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay some bills. We'll be right back continuing this conversation with him in just a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, then this is definitely something that you'd want to attend.
True.
Mm.
You spoke about AI, and AI and digital platforms are creating a lot of new income streams.
Yep.
Are there legal or ethical risks that young Ugandans are ignoring now that could hurt them later?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. So I think that, one, the problems, so to speak, start from the copyright protections around the content, because content has to be original. So if you make it with AI, then you walk into a little bit of market territory. For me, that's the start. But there's also liability for mistakes attributable to AI. So we've had, for example, cases in the legal space where the AI makes up stuff, and you submit it to a court, and that pulls your license.
Oh, wow.
So the AI is prone to making stuff up from time to time. But there's also a lot of stuff to do with, you know, like AI false materials, so deep fakes, overlays, they get your voice and put you on CIMAR and stuff like that. And those all have, you know, because for example, when you make content online, you're required, for example, to be balanced and to be accurate.
Mm.
So if you miss, I think we saw one where there's a newspaper in the UK, it must be the Standard, I think, that's having trouble with an investigative piece it did on Trump, and AI edited.
Oh, the one he's suing them for.
Yes.
The BBC.
Is it the BBC?
Five billion.
Yeah.
Panorama.
Mm.
Yes. Either the AI edited it, or they stripped the video and didn't place what he had said in particular context.
Mm.
So that there's those types of ethical issues. There's a whole bunch of ethical issues which content creators need to be aware about, and I think we'll go into a whole lot of them in the symposium.
Mm. Okay. Where is the confusion when it comes to freedom of expression? Because people assume that means I can say whatever.
So I want everyone to think about freedom of expression as a pair of feet.
A pair of feet?
Okay. Yes, a pair of feet.
Big it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The fact that I have my feet doesn't mean you don't have yours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all have to make room for each other's feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get. So like, I can't insist that in this studio I'm the only one who uses my feet. Everyone must use their knees. Or I can't use my foot to stand on your foot to prevent you from walking away.
Yeah.
So the first rule about rights is that rights, first of all, carry obligations, because it's a marriage, they're twins.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, that you cannot enjoy your rights in such a manner as to prevent you from enjoying yours.
You infringe on someone else.
Your freedom of speech is as important as mine.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So whether you are the president, whether you are, I don't believe in stratification, but the lowest of the low, so to speak, our freedom of speech is all equal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And because of that, we must agree what's free speech and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, the right to express your opinion and share your mind is free speech.
Mm-hmm.
But that can't include the right to say something false about Rudende.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? You can't defend him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that for content creators, it's important to recognize that, first of all, their right to free speech is constitutionally protected, and any law that contradicts that will eventually be struck down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's the first point.
Mm.
But it is also important to recognize that the same law that creates their right to free speech also creates a limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's fair.
And part of that enabling limitation is, one, to be registered, because, for example, content creators often don't know that they need to be registered with UCC under the law.
But content creators is such a broad term.
Yeah.
Is there a granular, like you said, you hate certification, but is there some kind of certification that you must, because license means you must pay a certain fee.
Yes, about 100,000.
Okay.
So it's not technically a license when you look at it, because in law we have what we call registration and licensing, mm-hmm. right? So, for example, when you go and start a company, you register it.
Mm-hmm.
The registration is what makes it a company. You don't need anyone else to give you permission to operate.
Yes. Yes.
But when you exist in a certain sector, like, for example, the media industry,
mm-hmm.
you need a license,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, the content creator's quote-unquote license is really just a registration.
Mm. Okay.
You just register and get an approval.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. But even more importantly, I think the question is who is a content creator?
Yes. Because everybody with a phone and a TikTok account
could
be a content creator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the law says is it calls them data communication service providers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And what the law, the law goes into a whole, it's a whole sort of definition, but essentially what it means is that someone who provides a communication service
mm-hmm.
on a digital platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So if, for example, you host a topical discussion.
Mm. Okay.
That's certainly a service because you monetize it.
So, okay, like a podcast.
Yeah, like a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you have an Instagram account, your Instagram account is recreational.
Okay.
Mm.
Thank you for that clarity.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask. So basically, if you're making money,
if you're making
your content creation,
if you seek out to make money, whether or not you make money is a different
story. Oh, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. If you're seeking to make money from, okay.
But if you're doing it from a private perspective, recreationally, like I like a lot of you guys' content, but it's largely recreational.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would then put you within the framework of a license or an approval.
Okay. I think that clarity is definitely needed.
Mm.
So now when it comes to attendance, for any young digital professional listening in right now, just tell us why the symposium is worth their time. What are they going to walk away with?
So I've had a lot of content creators call themselves influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That term has been bastardized.
I mean, in fairness, many of them are pretty influential.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can be influential unless you're compliant.
Aha. Mm-hmm.
That's the first point. But number two is that influencers are a business.
Mm.
Yeah.
Content creation is a business.
Yeah.
And I've worked with some of the best content creators in this business. Mm-hmm. And like I respect the art. Like previously when I listened in, I thought, for example, the voices, like you guys did something with a voice, right? Now I it's just how you guys speak.
Yes.
And being in the studio and seeing how much work it takes to like deliver all these products that we love tells me that, one, we have to think about this as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have to think about this as a business, for every content creator, and not just content creators, there's also content ecosystem. So if you think about ISPs, the MTNs of this world, you provide the internet, for example. You also make content, you advertise stuff, right? But there's we can go all the way down to like all the other ecosystem players. Like, I think it's important for us to know, if I play in that field, what my rights are and what my responsibilities are.
Yeah.
I think I've just seen one case where a content creator is now on remand.
Mm. Yes,
until 30th December.
Yeah. Mm.
That's a very complicated place to be, right? Because one, you legally uncertain, will I get out, will I not? But number two, your business isn't running.
Yes.
And you have overhead, right? So I think that the symposium will help in three ways. One, it will tell you what the rules of the game are.
Mm.
Number two, it will introduce you to people that will help, whether it's from a regulatory perspective, whether it's from a law enforcement perspective, whether it is fellow content creators to collaborate with.
Yeah.
And three, I think that it will start the journey of creating a cohesive content creation ecosystem that you will benefit from.
Okay. Wow.
That's powerful.
Mm.
I feel like I have a question that's aside.
Okay.
All right. How do we deal with offense? Because of being deemed offensive, if we're to be very honest, it's quite subjective.
That's correct.
Especially in a very conservative society that we live in.
That's correct.
How then do you straddle the line?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you actually look at the law, the law is not as expansive. Expansive in the sense that it's not as vague.
Mm.
I mean, we may disagree with a number of lawyers on whether it is or not, but my reading of it is that it's not as vague.
Mm.
So it's very specific. So for example, the Anti-Pornography Act, which is one of the problems that content creators find themselves in. It's very clear on what you can and can't. For example, it says you cannot explicitly broadcast nudity.
Yeah.
That's fairly clear to me, right? If you look at, for example, cyber harassment, it confines it to only two things that you must do. Either you must threaten me, threats of violence, or you must cause, I don't think the law calls it an annoyance, but you must cause, first of all, it looks at a pattern of malicious or false or frivolous allegations aimed at
Someone's reputation.
Yeah, my peace and whatever, And that's and because it's a crime, the standard is beyond reasonable doubt. So the threshold is high.
Yeah.
Like, it must be something that's very clear. But the challenge, I think, that we always see is that the criminal justice system, not just the crime, is sometimes weaponized. Right? Because the criminal justice system and the criminal law are two different things.
Yes.
I can keep you in prison for 4 or 5 years, even when you don't have a case that what is worth it against
you. We've seen that,
So I think that part of that has been, one, contradictions within the ecosystem and within society, but number two, perhaps a lack of awareness from a law enforcement perspective. And that's why we've taken the view that let's have everyone around one table and let's agree, what's the law? And police will be in the house, for example.
Okay.
The army will be in the house. Because they have, from a security intelligence point of view, they have some interest. The judiciary will be in the house.
Okay.
For example, the Directorate of Public Prosecutions will be in the house. The office of the Personal Data Protection Office, which deals with when people leak your national IDs and all that personal stuff, will be there. And we'll have about over 200 content creators. Let's just all agree, what's the law? So that then, when someone is wrongly picked up, there's a point of reference.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, the symposium, tell us where it's happening, when it's happening, how we can attend.
Okay, so the symposium is happening on the 18th of December, 2025. That's Thursday this week. It's happening at Four Points by Sheraton, starting 8 a.m. up to 4 p.m. How do you register? You just go to H&G Advocates on any social media platform. X at H&G_Advocates. You will be able to see a registration link. Simply register. No one will ask you for anything. Tickets, of course, are limited to capacity because the world is not an infinite space.
You know.
But if we don't manage to get you in physically, we'll make sure we get you online.
Oh, so it's a hybrid event.
Yeah, it's a hybrid event, so we'll be streaming on X, on YouTube, on TikTok.
Okay. That's
so
amazing.
Rushal, thank you so much for coming through.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Okay. My pleasure. This was amazing.
Looking forward to seeing you at the symposium. And thank you for explaining what rights are. Because I've understood it.
Yeah.
Right? I have the right to swing my fist, but my right ends at the point of Sima's nose.
Wow. That's such a profound way to put it.
You see?
I might need you to get you into legal practice.
You'll make a killing.
You see, Sima.
You'll make a killing. I'm feeling a little bit threatened right now.
We'll take Rudede and replace him with Lillian and Baba. Is what it's like. It's spices that show up.
Wow.
You'll be like ready and wizard.